excuse.
Two more states weigh in today in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. CNN's Greg Black takes a look at the GOP primaries in Alabama and Mississippi.
Mitt Romney may be the Republican frontrunner, but as a former Massachusetts governor, he doesn't exactly fit in the Deep South. Not that he hasn't been trying.
Morning, y'all. Be with you.
As for Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, they've been battling over which of the two is the most conservative, with Santorum telling supporters in Alabama he's the GOP candidate who can actually win.
You want to elect the most elected conservative, first elect a conservative, because that's the one that's going to be most electable.
In addition to the primaries in Alabama and Mississippi, GOP caucuses will be held tonight in Hawaii. Greg Black, CNN.
More details are coming out about the $26 billion foreclosure settlement between the five biggest mortgage lenders and state's attorneys general. And a growing number of borrowers are realizing that the deal will do little, if anything, to help them out. Maybe a million people will be helped, but some 11 million homeowners are underwater on their homes. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says the weekend shooting deaths of 16 Afghan civilians, apparently by an American soldier, won't knock the U.S. and NATO off course in Afghanistan.
War is hell. These kinds of events and incidents are going to take place. They've taken place in any war.
The Taliban says it will avenge the deaths by beheading Americans. Opposition activists have declared today a day of mourning across Syria. The toll, death toll, from a year of government attacks escalates out of control. The U.N. estimates the toll at more than 8,000, including women and children. This is CNN Radio.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
More companies are getting out the help wanted sign. A survey by Manpower this morning finds 18% of U.S. employers plan to add staff to their payrolls the next 3 months. 6% plan to reduce staffing. The net increase in job expectations is an improvement both from a year ago and from the current quarter. What began as talk is now litigation. Yahoo, which has claimed recently that Facebook violates several of its patents, has now filed suit against Facebook, claiming 10 patent violations related to social networking. A Facebook spokesman says he found out about the suit through the media. U.S. Airways is doing something that has a lot of people talking. First, it disclosed recently that it's considering a combination with bankrupt American Airlines. Could be an alliance or more. Now a third party has registered several web addresses suggesting a combo. Addresses such as AmericanUSAirways.com and AmericanUSAirways.net. S&P futures are gaining 8 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Manta.com here with small business owner Joe Buchek of Lighthouse Construction and Restoration.
Yeah, I'll be right down.
With Manta, business has grown 50%. He's so busy.
Whoa, super busy.
He's expanding to new cities. If Joe had a free moment, he'd tell you himself how Manta.com helps him get found on search engines and smartphones.
You tell him for me.
Well, I think it just did. Claim your free profile where small business grows. Manta.com.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Zaracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email, avoid penalties. Visit barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's barracuda.com/archiver.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it free.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 13th day of March, 2012. A pleasure to be back with you on First Shift. Please do not confuse me with Ed Schultz. I am not he. I am Tony Tribbiano. Really a pleasure to sit in for Ed yesterday. I want to thank all of you who reached out to me during the Ed Schultz show and afterwards. Thank you for your kind words. I had a great time. But it's good to be back home, good to be back in my studio, in my chair, just because it's what I'm used to, I guess, more than anything. But more importantly, with my audience, who is mobile, obviously. I had a great time yesterday, truly did, and glad that Ed had asked me to do it, and hope I'll get to do it again. As, of course, many of you know, today is my last day here before I have my gastric bypass surgery tomorrow morning. I would guess that about 24 hours from now, I should probably be on the operating table. Yep, that early. So looking forward to getting that out of the way and behind me. Anyway, let's take a look at what we've got going on today as we continue our Women's Empowerment Series. Dorothy Roberts will be joining us. I particularly want to get the attention of the African-American women in our audience. Dorothy is an amazing woman who is beyond just a role model and will speak to issues that affect the African-American community and women, amongst other issues. So we'll look forward to visiting with her. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. Chris Mihalakis will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. He's got a couple things on his mind as he gets ready to sit in this chair and fill in for me while I'm out. And so all is well. I got to thank the Occupy Detroit group because every day Jeff puts on Twitter our lineup and Occupy Detroit with its 4,632 followers get our lineup. And I do appreciate that. I truly do appreciate that. All right, let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Anticipation was yesterday, right? Arrival. We've arrived. For me, it's a little personal. For me, I've finally arrived at the doorstep of that day, as I just said, having surgery. So I've arrived. It's the beginning of a next step for me, of a process that will help fulfill something that I've wanted to do for years, which is get healthier and leaner and more energetic and so now I get an opportunity to do that. But as we take our first word and apply it to, well, what we do here on a daily basis, which is politics, passionate politics, arriving at the right time. Sometimes, you know, timing matters. And I think that this show came at the right time. as I hear from people still, almost a year after we've been on the air, it was all about timing. It's about arriving. And, of course, we did arrive. We did arrive, and I'm not saying I'm the white knight on the horse. What I am saying is it opened doors for all of us. And I think that one of the nice things, it's a door that swings both ways. I assure you, I get much more from you than you'll ever get from me. And for that, I don't apologize. It just makes me want to work a little bit harder at what I do to make sure that what I do give you is my best effort. So today, we arrive. Tomorrow, well, tomorrow will arrive as well, and I think that it's important that we just continue showing up. And then once we show up, we've got to stand up. Once we stand up, change happens. And ultimately, that's what we're looking for. And so, today's first word is arrival, and arriving right now, just in time, Jeffrey Radford. Good morning, Jeffrey.
What's going on? I figure if you introduce me in a weird way, then I'm going to have a response in a weird way.
Hey, man, what's going on? I'm feeling pretty casual today, Jeff.
Well, I shouldn't be. I'm in the presence of a superstar, a national superstar now.
Oh, no, Anthony did a nice job, I'll agree. Yeah, he did. So, yeah, right, you are in the presence of Anthony. Good kid.
I actually was going to come on the show today and be a little upset because I heard the first 90 minutes of the show yesterday, of you sitting in for Ed Schultz. And the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You came with, like, so much energy and, like, so focused. I was like, that's the difference between a noon start and a 6 a.m.
You sent me that message, Jeff.
I know, but I wanted to broadcast it now on Detroit radio.
So is that a criticism or an observation? I'm just asking.
It's both. It's not as much of a criticism, though, because as the show went on, I realized, yes, it's a different time slot. Like, no, there's nothing to take away from either one of us. It's tough to get up at 6 in the morning and bring the energy.
I think that if I'm that hyper at 6 a.m. as I was at noon, that might be a bit much for people, don't you think?
Well, and plus you were looking forward to it. It's on your mind, so you were probably raring to get ready back and into the swing of sitting in for Ed, and so that kind of went along with it. I mean, obviously, it made some regular callers nervous when they called in. So.
Yes, and who will go unnamed at this point? But they know who they are. We actually, Amir called.
I did hear that.
Which was great. I don't know. I had a great time. Anthony will tell you because Anthony sat in with me and produced the show on our end. We had wall-to-wall calls the entire time of the show, and I said to him, I didn't expect that one topic would carry over 3 hours of the show. But it did, easily did, which says something about the massive size of Ed's audience. Again, you know, people said I was jealous of Rush Limbaugh. I'm not. Maybe a little bit jealous of Ed Schultz. Maybe just a little bit. I'm happy to be where I'm at. I'm happy that I've got this time slot. I'm happy that we have this audience and we continue to grow. And interestingly, Jeff, I got an email yesterday from a young lady by the name of Melody, who not only has had gastric bypass surgery, had it by the same doctor that's doing my procedure tomorrow, which was totally coincidental. She just happened to offer that information when she sent me a message yesterday, but she was listening to Ed's show, and she said, you know, I've been meaning to write you for a while because I didn't want to like you. I liked Bill Press. I wanted you to go away, but I ended up liking you. So,
gosh dang it.
Dang, yeah, you know, it just happens. Anyway, so I want to say hello to Melody this morning. Thank you so much for the nice email yesterday. She runs a weight loss, a gastric bypass weight loss support group online, which she invited me to join, which I did this morning. And so, because I'll need some support moving forward, no question about that. But I, you know, one of the amazing things that happens doing that show is I got just a boatload of email. I mean, nonstop, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, one after another after another. And, of course, we picked up a lot of Twitter followers. We did pick up some likes on Facebook. By the way, we're 12 away from 1,000. 12, Jeff. 12. The dirty dozen. 12 away.
Well, we're 1,012 away from 2,000. Just think of it that way.
Well, okay. You're right. I'm not sure where that came from, but all right, yes, we are.
I just I figured while we're doing math, I'll try and be a little more impressive.
Well, I appreciate that, which makes you just that much smarter than Sarah Palin, so we'll give you that. Anyway, we're going to pick on Sarah Palin in this hour, by the way, because it's a time that she wears it. She needs to wear it, and we're going to make her wear it. Anyway, all that being said, it was a really great day yesterday. When by the time the show was over, my vocal cords were sore. I truly, after talking for, 6 hours on air yesterday, I was tired. I'm not going to lie. So I got home. Thank you for doing, by the way, all of my show prep for me. And I mean that. Thank you very much, because it allowed me to come home, take care of the dog, do all that stuff. And then once I finally was able to settle in, all I had to do is go to one email, which was yours, print off what we had going on for today, the guest-wise, and then just start doing some reading. So thank you for making my life easy.
I thought about driving over to your house and taking care of your dog as well, but well, I've never met Vinny, so it would kind of be awkward, I guess.
You know what? He would have been fine. Vinny's the friendliest little guy in the world. Absolutely is. So, by the way, my email address just won $65.5 million.
Congratulations.
Wow. Address won it, not me.
Oh, okay.
It actually says your email address has won $65.5 million.
That's how famous it is now.
I'm telling you.
It was going ba-bum, 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 as you said earlier. And apparently now it's that famous where it just won money.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, speaking of winning or not winning, the Pistons lose to the Utah Jazz last night 105-90 in a really uninspiring contest. Anyway, it is what it is. We'll go back to that. We really don't want them to win too much. I was listening to something on my way home yesterday, a sports show, and guy says, the Pistons are, or maybe it was even Matt Shepard in the morning. He said, the Pistons are 11-6 in their last 17 games. And I went, that's not a bad record. Of course, that's just the last 17 games. If we don't throw in the other ones, it's okay. If we throw in all of them, they still suck, and we want them to. For that lottery pick. Anyway, we need to take a very quick break here. We've got a lot to get to today. We'll talk a little bit of sports on the other side. And then we got a lot of stuff to get to, including picking on Sarah Palin, because I'm tired of her lying and her literally forcing the world to believe that whatever she says is right, when I've really come to discover that almost 98% of what comes out of her mouth is a bold-faced lie. Absolutely blows my mind. Let's take the break. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident out there this morning. 96 to Jeffries westbound at Grand River. It's on both shoulders. Keep an eye out for it. No delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, fantastic. Sunny, a little bit breezy, a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 30s. And then tomorrow, sunny, a high right around the 70-degree mark. Right now, it's fair and 51 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Michigan at risk of losing 249,989 supply chain jobs over the next decade. China's trade violations contribute to the loss of more than 400,000 jobs in U.S. auto supply chain. Joining me now is Scott Pohl, Executive Director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing.
The peril is the surge in imports from China in auto parts that go into the original equipment and also the aftermarket. They have surged by 900%. Over the last 9 or 10 years, we have an enormous trade deficit, $9 billion with China in auto parts right now, and it doesn't have to be this way. The United States is the only major auto producing country that has such an extraordinary deficit with China, and it's because of a flaw in our trade policies. We're not nearly tough enough with the Chinese. We don't support our industry in the same way as other countries do.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, and welcome back on this Tuesday morning program here on First Shift. A pleasure to be with you. In the world of sports, Detroit Lions went to a handful of their players and restructured their contracts yesterday to, I don't know, Jeff, was it to give them more cap space or to get them under the cap?
Both. I mean, obviously you get more cap space and then you get under the cap, so.
All right, now free agent-wise, what are we doing over here?
I don't know that you have a whole lot of wiggle room. I mean, like we just talked about with the restructuring of contracts, a lot of teams are actually dumping good players. I mean, you're talking about an offensive tackle that's still young and good for the Houston Texans that got cut, outright cut, because they can't afford him under the cap anymore. And obviously, you've seen what the Colts are doing. They're just, you know, getting rid of players left and right. The Lions were worried that they would have to do the same thing, just cap casualties, cut players. And yet, they got three big superstars, I guess, to restructure their contracts. And I guess the fans are going nuts, like, oh, this is so great of these three guys. My friend, who is an accountant and numbers geek and gets into that kind of the side of business of sports, really took exception to that. And so I, you know, during the day, while I'm listening to you on the Ed Show and doing stuff for work and everything, he's texting me about how ridiculous it is for fans to give credit to these guys for restructuring their contracts.
Why?
Because they're getting paid the exact same amount. All it is they are allowed to touch the contracts in order to kind of not fool the NFL, because the NFL knows what's going on, but you push money. You know, there's two parts of a contract, guaranteed money and non-guaranteed money. So basically the players are like, yes, you know, you can still pay me the exact same amount per year, but you can tell the NFL that some of it's guaranteed and some of it's not guaranteed. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, you know, last year when Matt Stafford, again, restructured his contract, Anthony, I said something to Anthony along those lines. Isn't it great that he did that? And Anthony said, no, Dad. So what do you mean? He goes, Dad, he just guaranteed himself money that wasn't guaranteed. That's all he did. He's the only one that wins in this.
The only way that it doesn't work out, and You kind of saw it a little with Peyton Manning, but you shouldn't feel bad for him, is if they get injured. Because then the team will just cut them before certain bonuses will hit. Like, he restructured his contract so that this year, if he were still on the roster, which when they restructured, there was no reason to think he wouldn't be, he was going to have like a $29 million hit.
Right.
And so they cut him before that happened, because obviously they can't afford that. But if he was the superstar quarterback that he still was and didn't have these injury concerns, they would have kept him on there and
absolutely
took the hit.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. So anyway, it's all very interesting, and we'll see how that all plays out. Free agency is alive and well, right? It started yesterday?
I do
or it
believe
starts today.
Yeah, it's right now, though.
Whatever. So anyway, so we'll see what happens. And read an article in the Detroit News this morning about Miguel Cabrera in third base. And basically, the article, I think it was Len Henning, said, hey, listen, he hasn't done anything to make us feel great about him being at third. He's done absolutely nothing to scare us about him being at third. And so basically, he's just a very average third baseman. And that's all Jim Leland said. Very honestly, I just need him to be able to pick up the ball and throw it. I'm not looking for him to be Brooks Robinson, and because he'll never be that.
Right. I mean, if he's the one in the bottom five in the entire league of third baseman, then you have a problem. When he's in the middle, then teams would love to have a guy who hits as well as he does, and then he's an average third baseman.
As an example that they used yesterday, he kind of flopped a routine ground ball, didn't throw a guy out in time. All right, but that the bottom half of that inning hits a two-run double. I'll take the two-run double. I'll take that guy. I'll take that player. Absolutely take that player. So.
Well, especially when he flubs. He's going to flub, what, 1 of 10 maybe?
Right,
I mean, it's not going to be every time.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
I will say this. The one big knock on him is his size. I didn't know this. I had to look this up. Do you know how big Scott Rolen is?
I don't.
He's a third base. He's been a third base his entire career. He's 6'4", 240.
Wow.
He's a big third baseman. So when you start thinking, well, Miguel Cabrera is too big to play third, there's a lot of guys who are about that size.
Well, you reminded this audience weeks ago that Miguel Cabrera played third base for the Marlins, so it's not like this is a new position for him. So people need to just kind of let go of whatever preconceived notions they have. He also played the outfield, folks. He's not...
That was 60 pounds ago, though.
That was... And he did lose some weight in the offseason, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. It's more weight than what he used to play the position at, but I think it's like riding a bike. It'll take him a while, but eventually you get the hang of it.
I would agree with you. So anyway, we just get, with every passing day, we get just that much closer to opening day of baseball, and we know that that means, especially with the weather we've been having, that means spring, and it's going to be a gorgeous day today, by the way. Jeff, let me remind the audience, it's going to be sunny in the 60s. In fact, if you haven't noticed, the grass is starting to turn green. Flowers are starting to bud from the dirt. It is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. I'm just very, very happy that we're getting an early spring. Now, whether we keep the early spring, I told you I washed the truck on Sunday. I actually took it. I took it to a car wash because it's impossible for me to get the very top of that thing. Anyway, I. So I get there, and the guy says, wash your floor mats? And I went, let me think here. No, I think I'm not quite sure we're done with snow. I'm just not quite ready to go there. Month from now, I'll be all right. But, I got married in April, beginning of April, and we actually had snow, significant snow, the day before we got married. So it can snow in April. I'm not giving up yet, or not giving in yet, one or the other.
That's what I started thinking, too. I mean, are we out of the clear? Is it okay to think that we have an early spring, we're not going to have to deal with low temperatures anymore?
That's okay to think it, and you might get it shattered, but you can think it all you want.
I know, but thinking it's one thing, saying it, though, maybe I just jinxed us.
I think we're all right. I'm just really enjoying the warmer weather. I think we all are. None of us, we didn't have a brutal winter, of course, but it was still winter nonetheless, and it was still keeps us indoors and keeps us hibernated and all that stuff that we don't like. You don't see your neighbors. For me, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But anyway, you just we just get anxious. I'm anxious.
I had the Sunday, and I think, did I say this yesterday? I hung out with my aunt on Sunday, and she has a dog, and we took her to the dog park. I went with her solely for the reason because it's so nice out. I didn't want to be stuck inside. And that was an excuse for me to get out in the weather. Was that nice?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand that.
People that take their dogs to dog parks, though, not everyone, but there's a select group. They are weird. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, and there are some dog people that are weird. I think I'm turning into one of them. I hate to say that, but I think I am.
And I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just they have their own cliques, and they have their own. It's almost like their own vocabulary. I was trying to overhear what they were saying, and I was just shocked. It was kind of a weird experience for me.
Do we need to talk about this when we come back, or
I don't know if it's interesting.
Just your observation. That's fine. Let's take a quick break here. We will come back and pick on Sarah Palin. How's that? I love doing that, and we got plenty to talk about. Folks, stay right where you're at. Feel free to join us as well. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break and be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident out there, 96 to Jeffries westbound at Grand River. It's on the left shoulder now. Wreckers are on scene, so that should be out of the way shortly. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high in the mid-60s, breezy as well. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 38. Wednesday, sunny, a high in the upper 60s. Right now, it's fair and 51 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now to talk about this recall effort of Troy Mayor Janice Daniels is Matt Binkowski and John Kulas.
This is really about protecting the image of Troy, I think. It's clear that even after a few moments of Mayor Daniels taking office, she made Troy a hotbed of controversy, not just locally, but on a national level. And that's inherently damaging to the city of Troy, I think.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Super PACs, the new money beasts of American politics, have already funneled more than $100 million into this year's presidential election. The uber wealthy are allowed to dump unlimited sums of cash into whichever of these beasts is backing their favored candidate. It's okay, declared the Supreme Court, because each super PAC operates entirely separately from candidates themselves. Indeed, the court banned any coordination between the candidate's campaign and the electioneering of the PAC. To see how splendidly this is working, visit Suite 555 in an Alexandria, Virginia office building. You'll find Target Point Consulting there, headed by Alexander Gage, a top staffer in Mitt Romney's 2008 presidential run. This year, Target Point is consulting with the Romney campaign, but it's also consulting with Romney's super PAC. Gage admits that this might look, quote, ridiculous, but he promises that Target Point staff working for Romney are kept separate from those working for Romney's PAC. Uh-huh. But what about WWP strategies? Headed by Romney's deputy campaign manager, Katie Gage. Yes, she's married to Alexander, and her firm also is located in Suite 555. Cozy, huh? Then there's BlackRock Group, headed by Carl Forte, who was Romney's 2008 political director. Now, though, Carl is senior strategist for Romney's Super PAC. Guess where Forte's BlackRock Group is headquartered? Right, Suite 555. Mr. Gage explains that while his firm and Ms. Gage's firm are in the same suite, the two principals do not discuss Romney's campaign or PAC with each other. And he points out that while Target Point and BlackRock also share the space, the two firms are separated by a conference room. It's not like we're a commingled office, he assures us. This is Jim Hightower saying, the word for this is silly and corrupt.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown.
You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Yesterday on the Ed Schultz television show, he interviewed the widow of Professor Derrick Bell, who is the Harvard professor that Barack Obama hugs at the end of that shocking, controversial video from Harvard of 20 years ago, where a then very presidential-like student at Harvard, Barack Obama, said wonderful things about a professor. Well, okay. The right wants to turn that into something it's not. I'm going to get to my Sarah Palin comments in just a bit. Again, the right wants to turn this into something it's not. And what do they want to turn it into? Well, they want to make Professor Derrick Bell a racist. They want to say that he is just an atrocious human being that lived his life in horrific ways, when nothing could be further from the truth. He was a gracious, giving man who fought for women and minorities in ways that most of you can't comprehend. He sacrificed and he gave and he gave and he gave. And I would suggest that perhaps his life ended sooner than it should have because he worked so damned hard all of it. But that's okay. That doesn't matter to the right. And it certainly doesn't matter to people like Sean Hannity or Sarah Palin, who are just looking for an easy score. You don't think Sarah Palin's looking for an easy score? Well, again, I'll get back to that in just a moment. This is what the widow of Derrick Bell said on the Ed Schultz TV program on MSNBC last night.
I got hired after Martin Luther King was killed, after the riots and what have you. I had applied a couple of times before, was not. And I came as a pioneer. I said, I will be the first, but I don't want to be the last.
Joining me tonight is Janet Dewart Bell, widow of Derrick Bell, the professor that is in question in the eyes of Hannity and some of his right-wing cohorts. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
What's your reaction to all of this? Are you angry about this?
I am angry and I'm sad. I'm sad that they could be so dishonest. And it's just really part of that radical right wing and the right wing media's patterns of distortion and misinformation. But, you know, I'm smiling because I want to lift up the memory of Derrick Bell. Derrick Bell left a great legacy, not just to me and our family, but my husband was, if he were here today, he would be standing up for Sandra Fluck. And, you know, Gloria Steinem once named him an honorary woman because he was a feminist before feminism was cool. And, you know, that's the Derrick Bell that I know. He's a man of courage, of conviction, and he was always standing up for justice. It didn't matter who it was, and he accepted people as they were.
Gee, that does sound like the kind of guy we would want to be afraid of. It does sound like the kind of guy that, geez, maybe Barack Obama would want to distance himself from, huh?
I would never hug that guy.
I'm telling you. So it asks and it begs actually the question, why would Sarah Palin continue to disgrace the memory of this deceased man and cause shame to a family that is trying to preserve a legacy that is actually quite beautiful? Why would she do that, Jeff? Why would she continue, I mean on a daily basis, to whoever will listen, who will ever put a microphone in front of her face, why would she continue to bold-faced lie about this great American man? Why would she do that?
Because they continue to put a microphone in front of her face.
Okay. Now, this has nothing to do with who she is, what her status is, whether she's a man or a woman, because lies are lies. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's telling them, they're still lies. You know, there are those on the right that are so anti-Obama, so anti-African American. That's right. I'm doing the race card, so you can all don't send me the damn emails. I don't care about your point of view anymore. I really don't. It's clear to me, ladies and gentlemen, that there are people in this country, as sad as this is, there are people in this country like Sarah Palin, like Sean Hannity, like Rush Limbaugh, like Bill O'Reilly, like Glenn Beck. Even the late Andrew Breitbart, who was the most reprehensible of all of them, will do anything for a buck. And everybody I've just mentioned are millionaires, and they make millions by lying. I guess I could join that team and make a whole lot more money. I guess I could have done that. I could have made that choice years ago. I chose the path of truth. But don't you for a second think that people like Sarah Palin and her ilk will get away with these lies. Listen to her talk with hatred and vitriol in her voice when she speaks of Barack Obama. She is sick. The woman is mentally ill, in my opinion. Mentally ill. She needs to be hospitalized and treated before she does real harm, because she incites the kind of hate that incites violence. And why don't most of those on the other side get that? It's sad. It's sad and reprehensible is what it is. So to Sarah Palin, I will say this. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for a healing. I'll pray for some clarity, some understanding. But this isn't about Bill Maher or somebody else. This is about you and me right now, Sarah. And what I'm saying to you is, stop lying. And maybe you'll get the respect from more than just the hicks that support you on a daily basis. Because you have actually made your millions off people that can't afford to pay their rent. How do you sleep at night, girlfriend? That's what I want to know. 888-552-3595. Let us go to Tom in Detroit. Tom, is always a pleasure.
Yes, sir, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Good, thank you.
You know what? The Republicans are some desperate people right now. And as you mentioned, you know, talking about this picture that was taken 20 years ago and what they're trying to turn it into. I mean, they're willing to pick up any kind of mud and throw it and see if anything will stick. Because, I mean, they don't have a viable candidate. And, I mean, it's really going to show in terms of, you know, that party, all right? And to me, the destruction of the party started when John McCain picked Sarah Palin to be his vice presidential running mate. And it's been all downhill since then, other than that 2010, you know, election where they came in and, you know, they took control of the House down there in Washington.
Well, they scared people. I mean, they're good at the scare tactic, Tom, and then that's why that happens. You know, I find it absolutely fascinating. You say they don't have a candidate. They also don't have a message, Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they don't have a direction. They don't have a focus. They don't have an identity. You know, and so, yeah, I guess, you know, right now the people that are leading the party are the pundits. I mean, seriously, think about it, Tom. The people that are leading the Republican Party are Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
Exactly. And, I mean, and what has happened with these two guys, they've become these monsters that the Republicans have allowed to be created that now they're afraid of. Because there is no way in the world that there should not have been a loud outcry in terms of the people on the right. Other than the few who did come out and say something, which was really a whole lot, a little bit of nothing, and demand that that man be taken off the air.
No.
Because, I mean, what he said was, it was not only an insult to the student, but that was an insult to every woman in the world, my personal opinion.
Yeah, well, no question. I got to, and of course, you already know how I feel about them and their kind, and it's just, it's disgusting that people follow them and that they've made millions of dollars off them. Tom, let me ask you a question. I want to switch topics for a minute.
Okay.
I know you've had a chance to at least read a little bit about the consent agreement into the city of Detroit. It's going to be announced today. Your thoughts, because I'm not feeling very good about this.
You know what, Tony, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to answer your question. There was a consent agreement, there was bankruptcy, and there's an emergency manager. Okay, it's kind of like, which is the lesser of the three evils? I mean, and I don't mean no disrespect to the DPD, which is Detroit's finest police department, but they have been up on their consent decree for how long now? I mean, it's been like, I know it's been 10 years, you know, possibly if not longer, that they've been under a consent decree, and they have not come from under that consent decree. And, I mean, you know, this whole thing with the city going into it, I don't really think it bodes well. It doesn't bode well at all. And I mean, and then besides, when I heard Mayor Bean give his speech I guess it was, I didn't hear any vision for the future of Detroit.
Yeah, you know? It was disappointing. You and I talked about that. You're mm-hmm. right. I mean, there is an expectation that part of leading is showing a path forward.
Yeah,
and Mayor Bing did not do that. There's no question that's true. And again, I don't mean to criticize the guy all the time, and I know I do that. But Tom, when you take a look at what he said during the State of the City address, it was about, you know, keeping rec centers open. You and I talked about that. The stuff that he talked about, the good, quote unquote, good stuff was happening. It's not that it's not good stuff. It is good mm-hmm. stuff, but that's not addressing the problem.
That's true. That's true. I mean, because, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, in terms of the city's financial quagmire, and you cannot continue, you cannot cut your way out of this, okay? And I know, you know, and I remember when the deal was cut in terms of the revenue sharing and what was supposed to have been the deal, and the state basically welched on that deal. So, I mean, do they owe the city this $200-some million? Yes, they do. Are we going to get it?
The treasurer and the governor said no, the city of Detroit will not get that money. They've said it point blank. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that was, they said it was made on somebody else's watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're not responsible for it.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, as always, I appreciate the call, my friend.
Okay, Tom.
You bet. It's just this consent agreement. And we're going to play some audio on the other side of the break. It's disturbing. Tom said it right. It's kind of the lesser of three evils. Was there a fourth option? There's always another option, but maybe sometimes we just can't define what that other option is. Is that fair enough? That's not a cop out, folks. I just, sometimes you just say, we don't either have the time to be creative, or we can't be creative, or we just can't think outside the box on this one. And there are lots of reasons that it gets complicated. And this one is. All right. Some audio on the other side. We're going to talk about the city of Detroit's consent agreement. I'm Tony Truppiano on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break and be right back. Please stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
The world is changing. So I don't know if really hardcore conservative Americans are wielding the influence that they once did.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to
to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are in the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, the conclusion itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Chip with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's get to some audio. We got a lot to get in and not a lot of time to do it. This from Channel 7 on the consent agreement, which will be announced today.
Yeah, it's kind of a narrow shot, but they do have a shot to start this process. The governor's office confirmed late today to us that they're going to send the city the outline of a consent agreement tomorrow. Now, that outline will set benchmarks for cost-cutting, streamlining, privatizing city operations, and so forth. Now, the city council will have the opportunity to tweak the language as long as whatever they come up with is acceptable to the mayor and eventually to the governor. Now, this could mean the governor will not send that emergency manager to the city, but it doesn't guarantee it. Governor Snyder said today he'd prefer the city deal with its own financial problems, but with Detroit running out of cash and facing a potential $48 million deficit as early as May, the governor still did not rule out the more drastic step of an emergency manager. Now, there are a couple of potential problems we're watching tonight. First of all, Mayor Bing says any consent agreement must be accompanied by cash from the state, and that's something the governor so far has resisted. The other problem, council won't have a whole lot of time to make this happen. The governor's office told Action News late this afternoon they want an acceptable consent decree on the table by the end of this month. That's barely 2 weeks. And we asked City Council President Charles Pugh for a comment tonight on all this. He declined. Joanne?
Stephen, do we know during all this, is the state's review of Detroit's books on hold while this consent agreement is being considered?
No. In fact, the opposite. The governor's Detroit review team will hold a meeting tomorrow, a public meeting, remember, it is public now, 2:30 tomorrow at Cadillac Place, so the clock continues to tick. Council can't argue about this a long time. They've got about 2 weeks.
Yeah, they
got
to act fast, that's for sure. We'll stay on top of it. Thanks so much, Stephen.
All right. Well, they said that the council only has a couple weeks to act. According to WDIV Channel 4, the city council is not likely to support this consent agreement. This is what they had to say.
Well, it's basically people agreeing to have the city agree with the state to say, here's a path to move forward that we're going to hold people accountable for actually doing.
The governor explaining to a crowd at the Detroit Athletic Club exactly what a consent agreement means. He doesn't want the state to take over Detroit. He doesn't want to send an EFM in here. But if the consent agreement can't get off the ground, he will. Realize of the three options facing a city with this kind of cash crisis, this is the least invasive, the other being an emergency financial manager or having the city declare municipal bankruptcy. Council members have an idea of what's coming tomorrow.
I can't tell you just in general terms that I don't think this is something that's going to get much, if any, traction at all from city council. I think the approach of council is probably going to be to say thanks, but no thanks. However, we're willing to continue dialoguing with the state treasurer's office and with the governor.
And here's why. Sources who have seen a draft of the agreement telling Local 4 it turns the running of the city over to the mayor, who keeps his powers, and a 9-member financial advisory panel, with members chosen by the mayor, the governor, the state treasurer, and the council.
Wow. Well, we'll know the deals later today, so I don't really want to pick on something I don't have the details on. And I don't have the details on this, but I will tell you, based on what we do know, we should go running as fast as we possibly can from this. I do have to tell you, it's just disturbing, and we'll follow this up, and I'm sure that Chris Mihalakis and Jeff will be talking about this tomorrow morning. Now, I just got, this is kind of breaking news. Jeff, you're going to get the biggest kick out of this, but not necessarily in a groovy kind of way. The Tea Partiers in Troy, you ready for this?
I saw this as well.
Yeah, Chris Savage at Eclectablog just posted this. The Tea Partiers in Troy are so upset over the recall petition of Mayor Janice Daniels that they have, I'm not exaggerating now, they have put out at least 10 potential petitions. But wait, it's not that simple. They're not just going to try to get 10 recalls on the ballot. This is exactly, I'm going to read this verbatim. Amongst the reason of other recalls, as Tea Partiers are doing this, is to recall Daniels as listed on the petitions filed by Nicholas Tersaro are for wearing tan shoes with a black suit to a council meeting on February 20th, 2012, for smiling at the public during a city council meeting on February 8th, 2010, and for having perfect attendance at the City of Troy mayor since elected in November of 2011. Other petitions seek to recall Daniels for wearing a red hat with a red coat at the same time in front of the Channel 7 TV cameras, for voting for the Troy Public Library to be open on Saturdays to better serve the people of Troy, and for going door-to-door and talking with city residents on their front porches. Now, the reason they're doing this, as Chris explains, is they want to confuse the voters. Here's the problem. All of this petition language has to be approved by the Election Commission, and I can't for the life of me, Jeff, imagine they will approve any of that language, as, of course, none of that is recallable stuff.
But does that bog the system down?
It doesn't bog anything down. As long as they got their petition approved, this is a totally separate process.
Well,
Only way it bogs it down is if they approve this language and allow them to print petitions and go out and get signatures that say this stuff. But that's the only way it bogs it down. If they don't approve it, they can't do it.
But then even if they got signatures, I mean, it's kind of a odd way to go about making a mess of things, I guess. Because it's still a recall petition, right?
Well,
silly reason.
Yeah, but they have to have it approved. They can't just go out and start collecting signatures on this stuff. They can't just go out and do it. They have to have it approved. If they do it, they're breaking the law. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they can't circulate petitions with that language on it. Now, I can't fathom that they would approve this language. I can't fathom. Well, I mean, the crazier things have happened. It's
who
politics.
Has to approve the language?
There's a group. There's the city clerk.
Are they paid by the city?
The
people that have to approve the language?
You know, no, they're not paid at all to do what they do. So there's somebody from the county, somebody from the city, maybe two people from the county and one person from the city. All right. And I think one of them, is Andy Meisner, who is the Oakland County treasurer. I think the city clerk, in Troy, and I just don't know who the other person is, but you know, these are good, honest people, Jeff. These are not whacked out people that approve this stuff. And you know,
I was just thinking, if it was Tea Party people, it'd be odd.
No, it's not. No, I'm saying Tea Party people.
If it's Tea Party people that are putting these petitions through, and yet it's, you know, costing the taxpayers money, then it's the complete opposite of what Tea Party people stand for. If they were getting paid by the city, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, that's not a concern. I got to tell you, when I read that, it just blew my mind. All right, we have plenty of time in the next hour. We got a lot of other stuff to get to, and we're going to do that. Just a very fast hour. It went by real quickly. All right. Let's take the break. In the next hour, we continue our series on women's empowerment with Dorothy Roberts. So we'll look forward to having her on and Occupy Detroit and your calls and all kinds of audio and good stuff. So stay where you're at. Let's take the break. And First Shift will continue after the top of the hour break.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slow traffic on I-96 eastbound between Kensington Road and Beck Road. The Lodge southbound near Grand River, we have an accident on the right shoulder. Also, southbound 35 before 8 Mile, we have an accident there in the left shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the mid-60s, breezy as well. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 38. And then Wednesday, sunny, a high in the upper 60s to around 70. Right now, it's fair and 51 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Hundreds of people took to the streets today in Afghanistan to protest the recent killing of 16 civilians. An American is accused of those killings. CNN's Barbara Starr reports on the latest violence.
The very village where this happened, some Afghan provincial officials have come under fire there this morning, under attack from insurgents. They were there trying to visit the families, trying to offer some assistance.
The Taliban promises to take revenge for the killings. Opposition activists have declared today a day of mourning across Syria. The death toll from a year of government attacks has escalated out of control. The UN estimates the toll at more than 8,000 dead, including women and children. Parts of southern Louisiana are under a flood warning for a second straight day. CNN's Greg Black reports the region was hammered by torrential rains.
Forecasters say some Louisiana parishes recorded well over a foot of rain in a span of just 6 hours. The result was flash flooding that Lafayette Sheriff's Captain Craig Stansbury says left highways completely underwater.
Anywhere from 6 to 8 feet on some roadways.
But there was a bigger problem. Authorities used boats, tractors, even dump trucks to rescue residents who were trapped inside their own homes. Greg Black, CNN.
Mississippi and Alabama Republicans head to the polls today to weigh in on the GOP presidential campaign. With all the candidates vowing to stay in the race, Mitt Romney tells Fox News it would be disastrous for the party not to have a nominee before the August national convention.
If we go all the way to a convention, we would signaling our doom in terms of replacing President Obama. We need to select someone to become our nominee, get that person nominated, and get focused on President Obama and get him out of the White House.
U.S. plans to announce today it's filing a trade case over China's export restrictions on minerals that are crucial for the production of many high-tech devices. Those minerals are called rare earths. China produces about 95% of them. They're used to make things like flat-screen TVs and smartphones. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Nerman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountemps.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Nerman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even buff it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Stop in to Lowe's today and take advantage of great savings for your home. Like 10% off major appliances $299 or more. And you can power through March with DeWalt Days at Lowe's, where you'll find great values on your favorite DeWalt tools, like an 18-volt drill for just $99. That's a savings of $90. Plus, you can pick up a DeWalt 18-volt cordless compact drill kit for only $199. That's a $50 savings. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 3/19. See store for details.
Most employers around the nation still have no plans to increase their staffing levels anytime soon, but a larger minority says it's about time to hire. Survey by Manpower finds 18% of employers, large and small, will increase staffing levels over the next 3 months. 6% plan to cut. That's a better hiring ratio than both the current quarter and the second quarter last year. In a statement, Yahoo declares it will prevail. Yahoo has sued Facebook, claiming 10 violations of patents. Legal experts tell Reuters companies often are most vulnerable to patent lawsuits while they're ramping up to go public, as Facebook is right now. Yahoo does own several patents related to social networking, stemming in part from its one-time GeoCities operation. For its part, Facebook says it found out about the lawsuit through the media. Stock markets around the world are higher. U.S. stock futures are pushing up about 0.5%. S&P futures gaining 8, NASDAQ futures up 15. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Manta.com here with small business owner Joe Buchek of Lighthouse Construction and Restoration.
Yeah, I'll be right down.
With Manta, business has grown 50%. He's so busy.
Whoa, super busy.
He's expanding to new cities. If Joe had a free moment, he'd tell you himself how Manta.com helps him get found on search engines and smartphones.
You tell him for me.
Well, I think I just did. Claim your free profile where small business grows. Manta.com.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And good morning to everybody. Just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 13th, 2012, I am Tony Trupiano, and a pleasure to be with you as we work our way through what should be a very empowering hour for all of us. I do want to remind you that we all own this program and that we have a responsibility to one another. Truth, ladies and gentlemen, is one of those things that requires hard work. And those that take the easier path are called liars. I just want to remind you of that. And the pursuit of truth, one of the things that we like to do is to be sure that we bring you the very best guests. And in this hour, I promise that we keep that promise. A little later on, Occupy Detroit will join us, as they do every day at 7:50. And we've got some open line time and time for audio as well. But as we continue our series on women's empowerment, I have an exciting guest for you who I will go to right now. Joining us is Dorothy Roberts. Dorothy is the Kirkland and Ellis Professor of Law at Northwestern University's Law School. Ms. Roberts serves as chair of the board of directors of the Black Women's Health Imperative, and you'll find them online at blackwomenshealth.org. The organization is dedicated to promoting physical, mental, and spiritual health and well-being for the nation's 19.5 million African-American women and girls, including the elimination of the enormous health disparities that exist for Black women. She is an internationally recognized leader in scholarship on the interplay of gender, race, and class, and in legal issues, and she focuses on reproduction, bioethics, and child welfare. She is a prolific author. She is a true leader, and we are blessed to have on the show this morning Dorothy Roberts. Dorothy, thank you so much for your time.
Bring me, Tony.
Wow, where to begin? You know, it's I got to tell you, we about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago or so, we began this women's empowerment series, and you know, we started with the simple idea that troubled me a great deal, that women still are only making 77 cents on the dollar that a man's making for the same job. Well, we're going to set that aside just for a moment, and we may come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets me to thinking, Dorothy, as I was looking at your bio and I was thinking about your struggle and your message and what you were empowering women to do, it's tough enough to be a woman. Now add to that to be a black woman in this society today. You would think in the year 2012 we could be having a very different discussion than we're going to have today, but there's nothing easy about being a black woman in today's society, is there?
No, things haven't changed essentially, even though, of course, there have been gains in civil rights and women's rights over the centuries, but there's still a very fundamental way in which black women are devalued in U.S. society. And that comes out in multiple ways, but maybe the most devastating is the gap in health that you mentioned, with statistics that are truly astounding. For example, black women are four times more likely than white women in America to die from pregnancy and childbirth-related causes. Black infants in America are three times more likely to die than white infants in the first year of life. In Chicago, where I live, and I'm sure this is probably true in Detroit as well, even though black women are less likely to get breast cancer, we're twice as likely to die from it in Chicago. And that's because there haven't been any gains in prevention or treatment of breast cancer for black women over the last 20 years. The rates of death have just remained the same. And that's true for a lot of health-related issues. And also, there's continues to be disparities in the way in which black women's childbearing decisions are valued, with all sorts of campaigns to both prevent black women from getting the kinds of family planning they need, but also then punishing black women for supposedly having too many children. So there still are a huge number of gaps and barriers and aspects of devaluation that we're struggling with even in 2012.
Well, you know, Dorothy Roberts, I'm going to ask you a simple question, but certainly there's no simple answer. How could this happen?
Well, I think, you know, you have to take into account that the history of black people in America and black women in particular is rooted in enslavement that, yes, happened hundreds of years ago, but still has repercussions to this day because of the systemic ways in which inequality is perpetuated generation after generation after generation. But there are deeply rooted stereotypes about black women, that black women are sexually and reproductively irresponsible, stereotypes that came out of slavery but then were perpetuated with myths like the welfare queen that portrayed black women as relying on welfare and deliberately having babies, not because they loved their children, but because they wanted to get a fatter welfare check. That image was deliberately perpetuated by the Reagan administration in the 80s and as a way of opposing welfare benefits. And then more recently, there was the image of the pregnant crack addict who was supposed to lack any maternal instinct and give birth to these social misfits, the so-called crack baby. Another image associated specifically with black women and their poor reproductive choices. And so there are these stereotypes that still resonate today that reinforce and are reinforced by systemic inequalities, one of which today that, well, you mentioned the inequities in employment, and that is both an aspect of racial and gender segregation, where black women continue to be segregated into the lowest paying jobs. And then we can add to it in recent decades the huge buildup of prisons and mass incarceration, mainly on the backs of black communities, with black women suffering greatly from this, both because they're left to take care of families with very little or no income in many poor black neighborhoods when men are sent to prison, but then also the highest increase of incarceration is among black women in this country. So many, many thousands of black women who basically have a substance abuse problem or are struggling with little or no income to take care of children, who instead of being supported are being punished and thrown in prison for nonviolent offenses, where what they really need is substance abuse treatment and help finding a job or some income support. But instead, we have this brutal prison policy in this country that deals with social problems by locking people up.
I want to remind everybody, my guest is Dorothy Roberts, professor of law at Northwestern University Law School and board chair of the Black Women's Health Imperative. And you know, Dorothy, you know, first of all, I need to ask if I can keep you a little longer because we're going to get to a break. I appreciate that. Let me ask you, let's talk a little bit about the blackwomenshealth.org website. What's there and what are we building over there?
Well, this is our fantastic website of the Black Women's Health Imperative, which is a long-standing organization. We started as the Black Women's Health Project, founded by a great health advocate, Billy Avery. And we have continued over the last two decades to emerge as the leading national organization, or actually the only national organization that advocates specifically for black women's rights. And we're moving more into trying to have an impact on national policy like health care reform. But we also have very strong roots in communities and in empowering black women to take control of their health. So we have both of these aspects of dealing with policy, but also in empowering black women themselves to care for their own health and to get together with each other to support each other for a healthier lifestyle. But also remembering always that we make decisions within a social context, and our ability to make choices for ourselves depend largely on policies and social structures within which we live. So on the website, you can find information both about ways to lead a healthier life, but also ways in which you can take action to have an impact on national policy and especially healthcare reform policy.
All right, Dorothy Roberts, hold that thought. We need to get to a break, and when we come back, there's so much more that I would like to discuss with you, and we'll get to as much of it as we possibly can as we continue our ongoing series on women's empowerment issue. I can think of no better and important discussion than the one we're having right now. Feel free to join us if you'd like to add to the conversation, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got some accidents out there. Southbound 75, about 4, 8 mile. We have an accident left shoulder. Traffic is backed up to 11 mile. 94 eastbound before Hagerty. An accident left shoulder there. In a lodge southbound near Grand River. An accident on the right shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high in the mid-60s, though we'll see some breezy winds out of the west as well. Tonight, mostly clear, low in the upper 30s, and then Wednesday, sunny. Beautiful. A high in the upper 60s to around 70. Right now it's 51 and there's a few clouds at Detroit City Airport.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
HUD Secretary Sean Donovan, and certainly Mr. Secretary, education is going to be critically important with this program. Well, does this address mortgage fraud or, more importantly, foreclosure fraud at all?
Well, what it does is make sure that where there was fraud committed by these servicers, that they are held accountable. This is the largest action of the entire crisis to hold banks accountable, $25 billion in total. But your listeners should be very careful about other kinds of scammers and fraud. We know, given the scale of what we're doing here, that there are going to be people out there claiming, well, we can help you get access to the settlement, just pay us a few $1,000s up front. And what I want to make sure your listeners know, if they need help, HUD-certified housing counselors will provide that help for free, and they can call the HOPE hotline at 888-995-HOPE to get help.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
You know, those of you, and some of you will do that, you're going to throw the quote-unquote race card at me today, although I look at the email I'm getting as I talk to my guest, Dorothy Roberts, and it reminds me that here we are having a discussion that no one has. Again, very quickly, Dorothy is a professor of law at Northwestern University Law School and board chair at the Black Women's Health Imperative. We will get up on the Facebook page, the website, blackwomenshealth.org. But, you know, Dorothy, as I sit and contemplate this, I wonder why we never have this discussion. Why haven't I had you on my show before? Why aren't you a household name with your credentials, with all the books, with how important this discussion is? And it just makes you wonder, you know, really, how liberal is this media?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I'll tell you something that's been on my mind. I have a book that came out in July called Fatal Invention, How Science, Politics, and Big Business Recreate Race in the 21st Century. And it's about how the myth that the human species is naturally divided into races not only has been perpetuated for 400 years, but also is having a resurgence now with scientists who are claiming to be able to find the cause of health disparities in the inferior genes of black people, and also how this is being marketed through biotechnologies and pharmaceuticals like race-specific medicines. The FDA has approved a medication for heart failure specifically for African Americans. And I have received so much resistance. I mean, I've also gotten a lot of people who thanked me for writing this book, but a lot of resistance, and including in some media circles where I've tried to write op-ed pieces, for example, that show the fallacy of some of these studies that are coming out and making claims that are just false about trying to explain these gaps in health strictly by genetic difference. And there has been a lot of resistance to even thinking about this idea that the inequalities based on race that we continue to see in this country. I cited just totally astounding and despicable gaps in health, you know, that black women die at four times the rate from childbirth-related causes, and black infants dying two or three times the rate of white. You know, these kinds of things that just shouldn't exist in a wealthy country like the United States that supposedly has overcome racism. And people want to believe, though, that it's not because there continues to be systemic racial inequality in this country, that it's institutionalized. They want to believe that there must be some natural difference among the races that causes it. I think many Americans would like to accept this victorious story that America has overcome its racist past, especially, you know, with the election of Barack Obama, that this is a sign that racism is over in America. And yet you have to explain why there persist these huge gaps, not only in health, but in educational attainment, in incarceration, in detention of juveniles, I mean, in arrest rates, in imprisonment rates, in wealth. You know, the Pew Foundation came out, I guess, about a year ago now with statistics showing that blacks have a 12th, or another way of putting it, whites have 12 times the wealth. We're not just talking about income. But well, the wealth gap is even greater in this country. And this, of course, is related to the point that the Occupy movement is making, that there are a few who own a huge proportion of wealth in this country, but it falls along racial lines. And many, many Americans don't want to face that reality and are trying to latch onto excuses that don't require any real social change in this
country. Well, you know, Dorothy Roberts, let me suggest this, and because I think that, you know, somebody like you that understands and is passionate about ethics, when we talk about ethics and what's ethical, we certainly think we could make a compelling case that certainly the media, certainly healthcare. I think most professions have discriminated and continue to discriminate against people of color.
Mm-hmm.
They fear. We had this conversation with one of my listeners the other day. White men still fear black men in this country. Just to see them makes their heart race a little quicker. This idea that we elect a black man president and somehow it makes things better, in fact, is a fallacy because it's made things worse. In this country. And it's unfortunate, Dorothy, that this happens. But when we talk about ethics, what's ethical about healthcare ignoring what you're telling us? I mean, that's just a horrible thing that needs to be corrected.
Yeah. So what I think we often in America, you know, there's a sort of individualistic streak in American history and culture that looks at ethics at a very individualized level. And ask what's ethical in a very tiny context instead of also looking at social justice as part of ethics. So when we talk about healthcare ethics, we're not just talking about a decision making in a doctor's office, which is important and can also and does reflect broader biases, but we're also talking about the ethics of living in a very wealthy country. Despite the economic downturn, we still are a relatively wealthy country where thousands and thousands of people don't have health insurance, don't have access to just basic, adequate health care, and where we're having a fight in this country now about something as simple as ensuring that women have access to family planning.
Absolutely.
Many of us thought that discussion was a done deal, and there were bigger fights to engage in.
And we're not done with those fights. We're just about out of time. I will say this. I mean, I sit here and I ponder. I really wonder at some very basic level how we can continue to allow this to happen. But I know that as long as the wealthy can build tall fences and tall walls, and they can do that because they have the money to do it, they can continue to ignore the things, Dorothy, you and I passionately care about. I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we don't. Thank you for your time, and I'm so glad we had this discussion today.
Thank you. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. The website is up on the Facebook page, by the way, so go check that out. A quick break here. Much more on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at that accident, 94 eastbound before Hagerty on the left shoulder. No major delays. Southbound 75 before 8 mile. That accident has cleared, but traffic is still a little bit slow from 14 mile down through the Davidson. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 65. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 38. Wednesday, beautiful, sunny, a high in the upper 60s. A quick look at Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 67. Right now, there's a few clouds, and it's 51 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFSCME Secretary Treasurer Lee Saunders says his public employee union has a long, proud history and is determined to press the fight for a strong middle class in the Wisconsin recall elections and beyond. Wisconsin is the birthplace of AFSCME.
It's very ironic that the same thing that they were fighting for, dignity and respect and protection on the job and collective bargaining, we're fighting for that today in the state of Wisconsin. So, I mean, we have a very, very proud history, 35 years, a very militant and aggressive union, and we're going to have another very proud 75 years in the future, and we're going to be just as militant, if not more, and aggressive in promoting public service and promoting working families and building the middle class.
Saunders says working families in America are under right-wing attack on a range of issues, including voting rights, so it's not just collective bargaining and not just action by unions that's needed.
It's not only collective bargaining that's under attack, and that's why it's so important that we develop coalitions with students and retirees and the civil rights community and the faith-based community and progressive organizations and women's groups and all of our natural allies and natural friends. We've got to rebuild the Main Street movement.
More problems surface for Apple's subcontractors. Jesse Russell reports.
National Public Radio recently spoke with 25 workers at a Pegatron factory who were injured in a December blast. The December explosion at the plant happened only a few hours after inspectors from Apple left the premises. 3 months later, a number of the 59 injured workers are still hospitalized. That blast came 7 months after a similar explosion at another Apple supplier, Foxconn. The Pegatron employees said they were never told about the Foxconn blast, nor were they ever told that aluminum dust was combustible. They said that while there were some air filters in the factory, there was constantly filled with dust particles. In advance of the Apple inspectors coming through, the workers were told to clean up the workspace. Prior to NPR contacting the workers, they had said they'd never received a call or visit from the U.S. electronics giant to ask about the blast. Foxconn has consistently been criticized for working conditions, and over the entirety of 2010, the company had to deal with more than a dozen suicide attempts.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast was made possible in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet,
tweet, tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. It's the 13th day of March. A beautiful day today, and we're headed for just a gorgeous weather day. Hope that you can make it a good one for yourself. 888-552-3595 is the number if you'd like to connect with us. Tony at the TonyShow.org is the email, and on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Let's go to the phones and welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, a pleasure to have you on the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Good morning. I really appreciate your last guest. I just want to add one statistic that wasn't mentioned is the ultimate statistic of life expectancy. Black people have a lower life expectancy than white people. The other thing is that the long-term role of white supremacy is to divide the working class, you know, pit white workers against black workers. That's the issue within the class struggle and the Occupy movement, the division of the working class preventing the working class from, achieving by pitting worker against worker. And I use the term now white supremacy instead of racism. I don't know if you saw Sarah Palin yesterday called Barack Obama's law professor racist, but that's not the right term. The term that needs to be used is white supremacy. And another issue which is really heavy is, I don't know if Pat Buchanan came out with a book or an article or something recently which brings up the old ugly issue of mixed race unions. You know, that's another, the fear of that in the long term of American history is another factor, of course, that creates residential segregation and et cetera. But it's a heavy topic, and I appreciate you having the professor to raise all those issues. I'm shocked that people are now, I'm not really shocked with the Tea Party at all, with return to genetic and biological claims of inferiority. That's not surprising, but, you know, we have a big fight on our hands to win this unity of all people, you know, regardless of race, and so we can achieve what the purpose of our country and our goals are.
Charles, thank you so much for your call and for your observations. I do appreciate them. And, you know, it's obvious to me, as it is to you, that there are great disparities in the society that we either ignore or try to, pass off as being something that they're not, which they really are. You know, do we live in a racist society still? And we do, unfortunately. I just had a conversation with somebody yesterday about mixed race couples and how they are, you know, exponentially growing, and that, you know, it's just, there's this part of you just wants to scream, all right, everybody, just get over it. If it were only that simple. You know, I'm mindful as I see something crazy, and I'll make the connection, I'll connect the dots here in just a second, but, you know, there's polls out this morning showing that the president is losing favor in this country because of the price of a gallon of gasoline, which, by the way, the Republican candidates for the presidency continue to tell the lie that the president has something to do with that, Newt Gingrich being the worst of them all. The president does not set the price of a gallon of gasoline, never has, and never ever will, but why let the truth conveniently get in the way when you know if you continue to say something enough times as what's happening with the price of gas, people will begin to believe it and then make you pay for it, as is what's happening with the president right now. You should be astounded, maybe even frightened, by how stupid the American people are. Let's go south for a moment, not to pick on those in Alabama or Mississippi, just happens to be where the primaries will be today. You know, scaringly, in Alabama, 52%, or Mississippi, 52% in Alabama, and 46% of people still think Barack Obama is a Muslim. He is not. He is a good Christian man that works hard, that loves his family, and tries to do the right thing. But that's not good enough for most people, especially in the Deep South. You know, a Deep South conservative Republican probably is as close to the KKK as we'll get in modern times. Not that the KKK still isn't out there, because they are. They may be a little quieter, but that doesn't mean they're any less mean and ferocious than they've always been. You know, I just find it absolutely fascinating that it matters all of a sudden. As Jeff just points out to me, you know, you can also be a good Muslim man. Not, you know, you don't have to be a Christian to be a good man. Trust me, I know lots of Muslims, and they're all great guys. I don't know that I've met a Muslim yet that I don't like. But, hey, that's just me and my liberal beliefs. Oh, folks, take a deep breath and maybe inhale what you're smoking, because you'll feel a little better. At the end of the day, if you're a Republican and you're proud of it, what are you proud of? Are you proud of the fact that you like to suppress parts of society? Are you proud of the fact that you scream about things that don't matter, like Sarah Palin would like you to do? This whole idea that Professor Derrick Bell was some kind of racist, when actually what he really was an American hero. You know, it's absolutely fascinating to me as we take a look again at this idea that the president has anything to do with the price of a gallon of gas, that some of you out there actually buy that hook, line, and sinker. So if that's the truth, send me $10 just because I want it. Is that enough? My P.O. box is on my website, and I'm just asking you to send it just because I want it. Because it seems to be that easy to convince you guys to part with your money. I made the comment earlier, and I'll repeat it once again, because I find it absolutely fascinating. The conservative right in this country, whether that's in the media or that's in politics, have made their fortune off of people that can barely afford, if at all afford, to pay their rent. And isn't that illuminating in and of itself? Let's take from those who are least able to afford it, knowing full well it's okay because it's going into my pocket, and once it's there, well, I promise to spend it wisely. And you suckers buy it. I don't find that funny. I find it quite sad. You know, again, as we take a look at the truth, and I know that word makes so many of you conservatives uncomfortable, the reality is you all come at me with opinions. Very few of you come at me with facts. And one fact remains. The economy is better. We're creating dynamic jobs. We do live in a racist society. And as soon as you all get over that, the better off we'll all be. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, conservatives don't want to work with liberals.
and it's not the other way around. We're happy to work with anybody. Problem is, you folks aren't showing up. And when you do, all you want to do is bring your point of view, and then you build that wall around you, as I said earlier, because you can afford to build the wall. In fact, you can build a wall that's strong and sturdy and wonderful, but it doesn't accomplish anything because all you've done is protect yourself. And once again, in order to advance society, and here's that liberal philosophy again, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there. That means sometimes you make a mistake. That means sometimes you actually present a path for progress. But some of you will never understand that because you build that wall. Oh, and by the way, once you build it, did you remember to put a door in? I don't think so. 888-552-3595. Bruce in Detroit joins us now. Bruce, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I just want, since you're talking about racism and you had that woman on talking about disparities and the races and everything. I don't know if you saw Bill Maher Friday night. I just sent you the video, but you might want to pull some audio off it. He sent Alexandra Pelosi down to Mississippi, and he interviewed some of the people down there, and it's an amazing video, and the audio is just as good if you want to play it. But, you talk about the racism. There was one guy, toothless guy, obviously not very wealthy, no money at all, actually. He was on food stamps, but he wants the government out of his life. He talked to another guy. They talked to another guy. They don't like President Obama. Why? Well, he's a Muslim, and, his name's Obama. And do you not like him because he's black? No, I don't like him because he's a half-breed. I mean, these are the kind of people that still exist in this country that are so ignorant. And these are the same ones that are on government programs, and then they tell you they hate their government.
Yeah, Bruce, it's so many easy to access levels. I mean, Bruce, by the way, runs a Rochester Citizen, and at so many easy levels, Bruce, you and I can access, information and people that both agree or disagree with us. Some of them articulate it better than others. Some of them are smarter than others. But then we look at something like this video, which, of course, I have not had a chance to look at, and I will. But I remember months back, Bruce, I don't know if you remember, we played that audio from the Sarah Palin book tour when these people were talking about why they loved Sarah Palin. And the reasons they were giving, reasons like, did you know she lived across the street from Russia? I mean, these were legit, and they were. This was in Cleveland, Ohio, Bruce. This wasn't some backwoods.
It's frightening, isn't it?
It is absolutely frightening that these people walk amongst us, and yet, what do? They fear the liberal media. Oh my God! Really? This is what you're fearing.
I hope you'll play some of that audio. It's only about 3 minutes. You might want to play the whole thing. Actually, it's only about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I got to get it to Jeff first, and then have him take care of it.
Your listeners will. I was literally almost banging my head against the wall that these. You think there's people like this in our country, but when you see them on television and you see them talking, and what they look like and the conditions they live in, and then they say. They don't like black people. They don't like government. And these are the people that are voting in Republican primaries, and that's why we have the candidates going where they're going on the Republican side.
Bruce, thank you. Absolutely. Thanks so much for the call. We got to get to the break. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift on the other side. We'll have to look at that audio and maybe get it to you in the next hour, as obviously we're getting ready up against the hour this hour. Let's take the break. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back with Occupy right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
My state was a leading indicator of what liberals would be trying to do across the country and are trying to do right now. And I fought against law and odds in a deep blue state. But I was a severely conservative Republican governor.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay.
All right.
All right. So we're ready.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us.
Like us.
Love us. At Tony Trippiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Jeff, I had a chance. I did send you that link that Bruce sent us to the Maher video. I watched it during the break. When you get a chance, check it out. And if we can grab it in the next hour, it's gonna remind you of that Sarah Palin one that we got.
Right, yeah.
Oh, no, you trust me. Oh, trust me. Wow. It's going to blow your mind. It's crazy. We'll get it up also on the Facebook page because it is just insane. Oh my God. I don't know how to respond. Okay. I want to get to some audio. Chuck Norris did a robo call for Newt Gingrich. I find this, interesting. Jeff, I know Chuck Norris is a Republican. I just find the cheerful one, which is what Sarah Palin calls Newt Gingrich. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I just find his, choice of Newt Gingrich interesting. I would have figured he was a Romney guy, but he's not. Anyway, this is Chuck Norris's robocall for Newt Gingrich.
Hello, this is Chuck Norris. As my wife Jean and I watched the GOP debate and went to their website, we were trying to decide which of the candidates would be best to do head-to-head combat with President Obama. Now, I didn't say hand-to-hand combat, even though I think they would win there, too. Gene and I decided that Newt Gingrich would be the best man to beat President Obama. Under Newt's leadership, the budget was balanced, taxes were cut, and we began to pay down our debt. These policies helped create 11 million new jobs. As president, Newt will repeal Obamacare, get rid of Obama's czars, and use common sense measures like building the Keystone Pipeline to lower the cost of gas to $2.50 a gallon. The election is too important to get wrong. We need a bold conservative leader to take on President Obama. We need Newt Gingrich. When you vote this Tuesday, please join me in supporting Newt Gingrich for president.
This message was paid for by Newt 2012.
I mean, what bullcrap? This idea, you know, and I don't know where the hell Newt Gingrich gets this stuff from, but this idea that he can create $2.50 a gallon gas, unless he's going to subsidize it, and at this point he's not electable, so unless he's going to subsidize it out of his own pocket, he can't drive down the price of gas to $2.50 a gallon. But he got Chuck Norris to say it, so it must be right. Correct? Right? Huh?
Well, everyone believes Chuck Norris. I love the, it's not hand-to-hand, like the play on words, with, because obviously everyone knows that Chuck Norris is so tough and can beat up anybody. the Twitter, there's actually a tweet sent out by Newt Gingrich's campaign that said, he will make a great Secretary of Attack or something. It's like, oh my gosh.
You're joking.
No, seriously. They thought that that would be a great thing to do. So obviously, you know, the next move is that the Obama campaign needs somebody like Mr. T. I mean, you need your own tough guy on your side. Right,
Secretary of Attack. Oh, please. First of all, I've never enjoyed Chuck Norris in a way, shape, or form. I know he used to have some kind of show on TV that I never saw.
Walker was a good show.
No, I'm sorry. Anything that Chuck Norris does, I find incredibly boring. I don't find him interesting in the least. Never have. So that's just my personal opinion. You can like, what was it, Walker? What?
Walker, Texas Ranger?
Yeah, okay.
Where they did all the moves in slow motion, and he always never got hurt, and the other guys always got hurt. It was like the great, it was, if you like, you know, non-realistic fighting scenes, it was the greatest thing.
Well, then that wouldn't be me. Wow. That robocall just blows my mind. Now, you gave me another piece of audio. I need you to set this up a little bit, because I didn't have a chance to audition this before the show. Channel 7 did a piece on getting rid of robocalls. Is there a call to make them illegal?
Yeah, I mean, they say that there's a movement. Now, obviously, it doesn't end. The audio piece here doesn't end with the utmost optimism on getting rid of them. But, yeah, there's a push now. People want to see them stop.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Millions of people have received these calls from Rachel or Kathy.
Hi, this is Kathy with Card Services calling in regards to your credit card account.
Last year, Peggy Warner said these calls were driving her crazy.
It's a recording, and they say something about your credit is okay, but if you stay on the line, we can get off you a lower credit rate.
At first, Peggy pressed 1 for an operator, assuming it was her bank calling.
I've asked them, now which card are you calling about? Because they do seem like it's they know about your credit card.
But it's not really your credit card company calling. The Better Business Bureau says these calls from Kathy or Rachel at Card Services are really debt consolidation companies that charge up to $1,000 to help pay off your cards. But their time may be running out. Indiana Attorney General Greg Zoeller has just filed suit against a Largo, Florida company called Consumer Credit Group LLC that his investigators say appears to be the source of many, if not all, of these calls. Peggy and many others would be thrilled if the suit finally puts Rachel out of work.
They don't ever say, I'm going to take your name off the list. They don't ever say, they just immediately hang up.
Yeah, let's talk a minute about the do not call list, which is my understanding that it is still in existence. I have put my phone number, my office number on the do not call list repeatedly. I've done it more than once, yet I still get calls from telemarketers, a lot of them. I mean, a lot of them. And I have come right out and ask some of these people that call. I'll actually stay on the line long enough to talk to somebody. And I'll say, I want to remind you I'm on the do not call list and that there are legal repercussions to you call to continue calling this number, because sometimes it comes from the same number over and over and over again. I certainly don't think they care. And, of course, the intelligence level of the person that's calling is somewhere between second and third grade to begin with. So it's kind of like wasting my time. But maybe at some deep-seated level, I feel like I'm actually trying to do something, which is what I which is why I do it.
But and that report, that's how they kind of ended it. You know, like there is the do not call list, but that it doesn't help. You know, and this entire thing is basically deception. I mean, we've heard this robocall stuff in politics, where remember when Mitt Romney replayed Santorum from years ago?
Right, right, right.
Made it sound like
listen, when I ran for Congress, we did robocalls, so I get it.
Right. It's the deception, though, that, I mean, the annoyance people don't like at all either. But now that, you know, now that they're becoming more and more deceptive, like you heard these people think it was their bank or they thought it was a different thing and they get roped into something that they weren't necessarily, they were conned into it, you know?
Well, I mean, you really, Jeff, and I know you don't have a home phone, right? You just have your cell phone.
Right.
Right. So you probably don't experience this. Not that you never have, but you have it in a while. You really have to be careful. I mean, you really have to pay attention when these folks call you because they do get very clever at the way they try to twist the message to make it sound like, you know, and they still do this, like your warranty's running out on your vehicle, right? And they'll call you and they'll say not, you know, they don't identify your vehicle. They don't do anything that sounds personal at all. But it scares the hell out of you thinking you're going to really lose something if you don't sign up. And you'd be amazed how many people end up buying a $500 warranty for a vehicle that they don't need a warranty on. That's amazing. All right, we'll take a break and come back. We got a lot to get to in the next hour. Chris Mialakis, we've got some audio for you, phone calls. Yowza. All right, we'll take the break. I am Tony Truppiano. This is the top of the hour. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have an accident. 696 westbound before Coolidge. It's on the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up to Woodward. Southbound 75 between Rochester Road and 8 Mile. You're going to find some stop and go traffic through that stretch. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 65. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 38. Wednesday, sunny, a high in the upper 60s to around 70. Right now, it's partly cloudy and 51 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. The South takes the spotlight today with Republican primaries in Alabama and Mississippi. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live with a preview. Bob?
Jim, it could be another mixed message day for the contest, but most pundits figure it's make-or-break time for Newt Gingrich. He told a Birmingham crowd,
I do not believe the other two candidates can beat Obama, and I believe this race is the most important in our lifetime, and I will not leave the field.
But if Gingrich does not win Alabama and or Mississippi, his viability may be questioned by party officials as he continues to split hardcore conservative votes with Rick Santorum. In fact, if Mitt Romney wins either state, that split could be why. Jim?
A little bit farther west from where those primaries are being held, flash flood warnings posted across parts of Louisiana, where up to 15 inches of rain fell in just 6 hours. Captain Craig Stansbury with the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office says one town really got hit hard.
A small town called Carol Crow received most of the flooding, and we've just been responding to calls due to this flooding. Everything from vehicles that have been stranded with people in them to people stranded inside their houses due to the flooding.
Hundreds of people took to the streets today in Afghanistan protesting the recent killing of 16 Afghan civilians and Americans accused of those killings. The Taliban is promising to take revenge. Harvard researchers find that eating too much red meat can increase a person's risk of dying at an early age. CNN's Elizabeth Cohen reports that raises the question, well, how much meat is safe to eat?
The guy who actually did this study, he said, look, you don't have to be a vegetarian, but for every portion of meat that you replace with chicken, with fish, with nuts, with beans, you are going to be better off and live longer. That's how he put it.
Tiger Woods says his injured left Achilles tendon isn't as bad as he thought. He expects to be good to go for the Masters next month. As a matter of fact, he may return next week for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Staples knows that in a small business, technology is all you.
Dave, can we get new laptops?
Oh, no, we're not upgrading till next year.
Oops, I might need one sooner.
Oops, me too.
Yours still looks good, Sally.
How about now?
No, that's broken.
Get a great deal on a laptop. For a limited time, get a $100 prepaid Visa card when you buy select Windows 7 PCs. Staples. That was easy. For a limited time, valid on select models only. Visa card issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated. Terms and conditions apply to the card. See store for details.
Your vehicle is one of your biggest investments. If you've come into some extra cash this tax season, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. From oil changes to major part replacements, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need in stock. Use this year's tax refund and avoid costly repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're what some mutual fund managers call a lazy investor, you just keep your money in stock index funds and never move them around, you have beaten most of your peers. In its 10th annual measure of mutual fund performance, Standard & Poor's says the regular old boring S&P 500 outperformed 84% of actively managed mutual funds last year. Although it doesn't feel like it, the past 6 months have been the strongest for job creation since 2006, and the momentum may continue. This morning, a survey by Manpower finds 18% of employers plan to add jobs April through June. 6% plan to cut. Those are improvements. U.S. Airways appears to be making room in its hangar for a partner. First, it disclosed recently that it's considering a combination with bankrupt American Airlines. It could be an alliance or more, such as a merger. Now several web addresses have been registered, suggesting a get-together. Stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 7 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Manta.com here with small business owner Joe Buchek of Lighthouse Construction and Restoration.
Yeah, I'll be right down.
With Manta, business has grown 50%. He's so busy.
Whoa, super busy.
He's expanding to new cities. If Joe had a free moment, he'd tell you himself how Manta.com helps him get found on search engines and smartphones.
You tell him for me.
Well, I think it just did. Claim your free profile where small business grows. Manta.com.
Merriman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Absolutely. Welcome to this community called First Shift. A pleasure to be with you today. This is the last hour before I take a little time off to have surgery. I did get a few emails in the last hour, people wanting to know how long I'm going to be off. I don't know. I really don't know until I have surgery and figure out how I feel. I'm going to try to get back as quickly as possible, not because I don't trust the guest host I have. I trust him a great deal. He also happens to be on hold, so he's hearing everything I'm saying, but beyond that, seriously, I'm going to get back as soon as I possibly can. I'll miss all of you, that's for sure. Let me go to my guest right now. Joining us, as he does every week at this time, is Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. And Chris, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. Tomorrow you get to sit in this chair, which I promise after I'm sitting in, it is nice and sturdy. You don't have to worry about it falling apart or anything. You'll be fine.
Well, first of all, Tony, I wish you a speedy recovery. I look forward to taking the helm for a couple days, but you know it's not going to be the same, and so I hope you recover well and are back at them to give Republicans in the state a hard time and keep speaking the truth, because you know I may be filling in, but I won't be replacing you, and everybody knows that.
So. Well, we want you to be you. That's why I asked you to do this. I just want you to be you. I'm not asking you to be me. Number one, number two, without your agreeing to do this, I wouldn't be able to go off, and I'm not doing this for vanity reasons. I'm doing this for health reasons, and so thank you for allowing me the opportunity to walk away for a few days to do that. And all things being equal, I do hope to be back as quickly as possible. Again, I just don't know how I'm going to feel, so I got to wait and see how that goes. In the meantime, you are in good hands with Jeff and Anthony, as you know, and things should be great. Of course, you do have new responsibilities as the president of the Metro AFL-CIO. Again, hearing great things, Chris, but it also requires, I would think at some level, it requires much more of you with regard to showing up at events and making your presence felt. And I happen to know that's something that you enjoy. At the same time, you're at everything anyway, so I don't know that it's added to your burden at all.
Well, there's just a whole other world of responsibilities that I wasn't aware of in the past, but I got big shoes to fill taking the place of Sandra Williams, but thank God she's sticking around for a few months to help me out, transition a little bit, so I'm really thankful for that. And it's been, I've been trying to hit the ground running as fast as I can, and hopefully I'm keeping up at a pace that everyone is happy with. And it's been an exciting couple of weeks, Tony, and I look forward to continuing this work down the road. And it's going to be really crazy the next week, waking up at 4 a.m. every day. But I look forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
You know, it was interesting. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours who will go nameless on air, and I'll tell you off air. But, we were talking about the history of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO and some of the really wonderful and colorful, and I mean that in the best possible way, presidents of the Metro. And there have been many. I mean, there's a rich history in tradition here in Detroit. And I'm thinking, every one of them has had an opportunity, including Sandra, to put their own mark on that job. And of course, part of leadership, you and I were having a discussion last week, and you said, hey, I need to figure out what my leadership style is first. But, I'm working in that direction. It's interesting, Chris, because I've known you a long time. And so you've always been a visionary, and I mean that in the best possible way. And so here it is. You have this opportunity now where you can take that vision and actually apply it. I think the greatest challenge for you would be at this point prioritizing that, because I know there's so much you want to do. Are you finding that's a little bit of a challenge?
Yeah, without a doubt. That's actually, Tony, you kind of read my mind. It's the biggest challenge. I mean, there's so much I want to do, but resources are limited. And, by the way, we have the most important election as far as the labor movement goes in the last 50 years, if not longer, coming up this year where we have to prioritize that. And, we have a ballot initiative that we have to win. We want to protect the right of collective bargaining for everybody. We think everyone in the state of Michigan, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you work, has a right to have democracy at the workplace. And so that's going to be our top priority. And, so regardless of what my vision or my ideas are for the future, we really need to, educate our members and educate the public about a lot of these horrible laws that are being passed in Lansing and why we need to pass an amendment to protect collective bargaining. I mean, you know, our rights are under attack in the state. And, you know, even if you don't belong to a union, even if you don't have a collective bargaining agreement, I think we can all agree that you should at least have that option and that right to. And, you know, we see these rights under attack, and that's going to be our top priority between now and November.
Well, I know you had a chance to hear a little bit of my stint on the Ed Schultz radio show yesterday,
yeah.
And I was shocked that we got 3 hours out of that topic alone.
I was amazed, and I loved every minute of it. And first of all, Tony, let me just say it was awesome hearing the rest of the country react to how great of a host you are, and you really got, you know, the phone lines lit up, and it was great hearing you for 6 hours yesterday. I can imagine you were pretty exhausted after that.
Yeah, I sent you a little note. I can't repeat it all. I can't repeat it all, but yeah, I was a little tired. A little bit tired. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I was astounded that we got 3 hours out of this democracy in the workplace, not argument, but truth. I mean, it was just amazing to me. And then you throw in the emails I got on top of the phone calls to the show and the tweets that we also received, and you begin to feel very hopeful that not just people in the state of Michigan. I got to thank David Hecker because he started that conversation yesterday on the Ed Schultz show for me. But you know, it gives me hope that the country gets it, that this fight that we're in, you know, for the middle class, that we're all in this fight together, gives me hope that, you know, I think we can actually accomplish something here.
I agree, Tony. And you know, since you mentioned David Hecker, I just want to mention, House Bill 4246, is a terrible law that threatens the existence of teaching unions in the state. It goes far beyond right to work for teachers and basically says that it is illegal for school districts to engage in any sort of dues checkoff at all, even if the union is willing to pay for those minimal costs, which are next to nothing. You're talking fractions and tiny, minuscule fractions of a penny on every transaction. And so the governor has not signed 4246 in the law yet. If you go to michigan.gov/Snyder, it's the governor's personal webpage, you'll see a little button there that says contact, and it'll say, what would you like to do? Well, one, they have the phone number of the governor, which I'm going to give away if you don't mind, 517-373-3400. And again, we're reminding the governor to veto 4246. There's also a button you can click there that says click here to share your opinion. And it'll ask you for some information. You know, you have to give your name, address, phone number. I mean, you can't do any anonymous, you know, spamming and we obviously want you to be honest and share that information with your governor, because we want Governor Snyder to know that this bill is way too extreme. It goes way too far, and it threatens the existence of collective bargaining with teachers, and we need to ask them to veto it. You know, I think there's a small possibility that, you know, even as someone as extreme as Governor Snyder could come to a senses and agree that this bill just goes way too far and is way outside the mainstream of even the most conservative Republican policy.
And I have a feeling that over the next few days you're going to be talking about that as you sit in for me. So I this is a good thing, and I want to encourage you. One of the things that I want to teach you about radio on the air is that you've got to repeat things over and over and over again. You never have the same audience at any given time, and you want to make sure everybody hears you, Chris. And you couldn't be more right than you are on this particular issue. I will tell people that when somebody posted this to the Facebook page the other day, they called the governor's office, and the person that answered the phone was very cordial and seemed to take the call very seriously.
Yeah, and you know, Tony, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, when we make these sorts of communications with our elected officials, you being cordial is only beneficial to your cause. If you call up there angry and swearing and, you know, running your mouth, they're not going to take you seriously. And so what I always like to remind union members is that politics is about our personal business. It's about, you know, our wages. It's about our benefits. and you have to treat politicians like you would any other person you would come across in your professional life. And so, you know, a little professionalism will go a long way. And, you know, it's okay to express how important it is that the governor vetoes this bill and how this bill will impact you. But, you know, again, if you start, you know, swearing or being aggressive, then they're just going to dismiss you and not take you seriously.
Absolutely. And Chris, we got to take the break. So hold that thought, and we'll come back on the other side, talk a little bit about Chase Bank. Chris has an announcement to make about something that's happening today that you need to be aware of and get involved in. And we'll do that after we take this quick break. I'm Tony Trupiano. Chris Mielak, as president of the Metro AFL-CIO, is my guest. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I've really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Okay, morning. We're still looking at that accident, 696 westbound before Coolidge. It's causing some minor delays. 94 westbound between Kanju and 75. You'll find some delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 65, breezy winds out of the west as well. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 38. And then tomorrow, beautiful, sunny, a high in the upper 60s to around 70. Right now, it's fair and 52 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Dr. Jill Stein, a candidate for the Green Party's presidential slot. Tell my audience, if you would, a little bit about the Green Party for those that are not familiar with the Green Party, please.
The Green Party is the party of regular working people. You have two establishment parties, but they've sort of given up the ship for everyday working people. They're delivering the goods for the wealthy few who are already rolling in dough. They're imposing austerity on everyday people, cutting back for our health care and our schools, and the things that everyday people need are transportation. Yet they are squandering trillions on more Wall Street bailouts, tax breaks for the millionaires and billionaires, and wars overseas that get ever bigger and ever more expensive every day.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trubiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro AFL-CIO, is my guest. And, Chris, we want to remind people that there's a rally today, an important rally, a notice of default going to Chase Bank. And if people are scratching their heads and saying, what? Well, we're gonna explain it all. Relax, folks. Here it comes.
Well, Tony, we're going to gather at the Spirit of Detroit statue at 11:45 a.m., and then we're going to march two blocks over to the bank, and we are going to deliver a notice of default to Chase Bank. You know, we've seen Chase Bank. They got billions and billions of dollars in the bailout, and now they want to foreclose on people for very questionable reasons. For example, I was fortunate enough to be at a rally the other day at the home of Alma Counts, who's a widow, partially paralyzed senior citizen, mother of 10 children. She's been living in her Detroit home for 39 years. And, you know, she had a mortgage from WAMU. And when WAMU, and she didn't miss a payment, you know, she kept up with her payments, et cetera. And when WAMU got bought out by, or taken over by Chase, Chase doubled her monthly payment and refused her application for a new modification. And, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We don't know all the other folks that Chase Bank is doing, is refusing these modifications to and taking advantage of. And what we understand is, you know, a lot of these companies, when these homes go into foreclosure, they get even more money in bailouts. And so they're, and rather than work with the people to make these payments more manageable, and more reasonable, they're trying to push people out of their homes so they can, you know, squeeze more money from the government with these bailouts. You know, we have examples. There's a Sterling Heights couple who entered into a special medical hardship payment agreement with their bank and made their payments, but now they had their house sold at a sheriff's sale. We know of a Northfield widow whose husband died of pre-existing conditions during the course of litigation while she fought to save her home from Chase foreclosure. You know, we have all these different examples and all these different stories of people who are, you know, trying to do the right thing, who can make payments, but for one reason or another, Chase wants them out of their homes. And, you know, after they received a bailout, after they defaulted on their loans to their creditors, and they got bailed out, we want to issue them a notice of default because, you know, we think it's time for them to show a little understanding, a little flexibility. We're not asking Chase to give any free handouts to anybody. We're just saying in the cases where people can make a reasonable payment, or in cases where you've altered the terms of your agreement, you know, those are the sorts of things that have to stop, and those are the people we want Chase to work with. And, you know, we think we're being pretty reasonable.
You know, not to mention, and we talked about this very briefly yesterday, it certainly bears repeating, not to mention the holes it puts into a neighborhood. You know, for right. every empty house, Chris, I mean, that drives down the value of each home in that neighborhood. And, you know, in its own way, it puts a little black mark on that neighborhood. Well, you know, whether it's intentional or not, it's there.
Right.
You know, and it's ridiculous because we're talking about people that basically can afford to live in their home. They just need literally a day or two of TLC to work out some paperwork, and then we can move on. It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, we're, you know, as we like to often chant, whether it's at Chase or Bank of America, banks are got bailed out, we're getting sold out. And these are the sorts of things that Occupy Our Homes has been working on, and the Metro AFL-CIO, UAW, especially Local 600, you know, we've been working very closely together on getting banks to work with these creditors because they do create big holes in communities. You know, Tony, you look at these cities that are facing on the brink of getting an emergency manager. You know, people are always quick to blame, you know, especially Republicans. Oh, you know, what's the matter with you? Why can't you get your finances in order? And it's not that the city is spending too much or doesn't know how to budget themselves. It's that when banks are foreclosing left and right and not even giving people a chance to fix some of their mortgages, it affects the property value. It not only blights the city, you not only have these empty homes, which now are not paying into the tax base, but are you know, need extra attention, need more police patrols and things like that. But it's also decreasing the tax base of the city and making it very difficult for cities to make ends meet while their expenses are remaining the same. And, you know, I live in Dearborn Heights, and my old block I used to live on, I remember at one point we had like 5 foreclosures on my street, you know, just on my block. And you know, the police still had to come and make their patrols. Even more so because you had people who would, you know, try to break into these homes and try to squat in them. You know, we still needed the lights on. We still needed trash picked up. You know, the expenses didn't go down because these houses were vacant. So, you know, what the banks are doing to Metro Detroit is crippling our communities. And it's us as taxpayers that at a local level often have to make up for those payments. You know, Tony, you and I fought hard and, you know, I know I voted for, the millage increase or the Headley override amendment, in our city charter this year because I want those, you know, to have the security and the peace of mind. I want to know our police and fire are going to be there when I need them. But, you know, a big reason why we had to vote for that is because of what the banks are doing to their customers.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
That's okay. Well, you know, there's no question that that's true. And, you know, there are lots of reasons to fight the good fight. You've just enumerated plenty of them. The bottom line here is that we still, and unfortunately, and we had the HUD secretary, Sean Donovan, on the show the other day, Friday, Chris. And, you know, there's this new remodification program coming out, $25 billion. It's coming from the banking industry and, you know, it's to correct some of the past wrongs, but the bottom line here, you know, when we started getting down to the nitty gritty, and I unfortunately wasn't able to do it until after the show, but we're only talking about helping 70,000 Michigan families. That's not enough. That's not enough. It's a start, but it's really not enough.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that, Tony. But you know, that's why today we're asking your listeners if you got some time, if you're downtown. You got time for a little lunch break. You can either meet us at 11:45 at the Spirit of Detroit statue or come to the Chase Bank building across the street at noon and help us issue this notice of default.
Absolutely. Well, I do know that UAW Vice President Cindy Estrada will be there with Chris and lots of other people. So this might be one of those things that you go to because I think everybody should experience this. What's the word? Oh, yeah, solidarity. Yeah, you should.
Isn't it funny, Tony, how all these folks that are regulars on your show all just happen to, you know, consolidate around this issue?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Brother, I'm going to let you go. I know you've got a lot of work to do today. Of course, at some point we'll all be meshing today. Good luck while I'm away. And of course, I will be, as soon as I'm able, listening and probably calling you and going, what in the hell did you say that for? What are you doing? You know I can't get there. Why? Oh, my God. No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Thank you for everything, brother. I do appreciate it. And I will talk to you at some point today.
Sounds good, brother.
All right. God bless you. Chris Mialakis, again, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. Folks, it's now about us. You want to get on the show? Now you call 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Take the break.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've done some stop-and-go traffic northbound 75 between Grand River up to I-375 split there. Northbound 75 between West and Dix-Toledo, that is backed up as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high near 65 with breezy winds out of the west. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 38. Tomorrow, sunny, a high in the upper 60s to around 70. A quick look at Thursday, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high once again in the upper 60s. Right now, it's fair and 52 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny.
First Shift with Tony Trivino on 1310 WDTW.
Super PACs, the new money beasts of American politics, have already funneled more than $100 million into this year's presidential election. The uber wealthy are allowed to dump unlimited sums of cash into whichever of these beasts is backing their favored candidate. It's okay, declared the Supreme Court, because each super PAC operates entirely separately from candidates themselves. Indeed, the court banned any coordination between the candidate's campaign and the electioneering of the PAC. To see how splendidly this is working, visit Suite 555 in an Alexandria, Virginia office building. You'll find Target Point Consulting there, headed by Alexander Gage, a top staffer in Mitt Romney's 2008 presidential run. This year, Target Point is consulting with the Romney campaign, but it's also consulting with Romney's super PAC. Gage admits that this might look, quote, ridiculous, but he promises that Target Point staff working for Romney are kept separate from those working for Romney's PAC. Uh-huh. But what about WWP strategies, headed by Romney's deputy campaign manager, Katie Gage? Yes, she's married to Alexander, and her firm also is located in Suite 555. Cozy, huh? Then there's BlackRock Group, headed by Carl Forte, who was Romney's 2008 political director. Now, though, Carl is senior strategist for Romney's Super PAC. Guess where Forte's BlackRock group is headquartered? Right, Suite 555. Mr. Gage explains that while his firm and Ms. Gage's firm are in the same suite, the two principals do not discuss Romney's campaign or PAC with each other. And he points out that while Target Point and BlackRock also share the space, the two firms are separated by a conference room. It's not like we're a commingled office, he assures us. This is Jim Hightower saying, the word for this is silly and corrupt.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
25 minutes left in this hour, and then we're off. Today, Jeffrey, I am off to give a speech to UAW Local 247. 247 out in the Warren area. I think it's Warren, maybe Sterling Heights. Van Dyke between 12 and 13, you know, out in that area. So right after the show, I'll be stopping at home quickly, grabbing a little, jacket, make myself look halfway presentable. Not all the way, just halfway. And then I'll be off to go speak to some retirees there today. They invited me for lunch. Unfortunately, I can't stay for lunch. But that's what I got going on after the show today. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And then I'll be back to talk to you, sir, to help you put tomorrow's show together for Chris.
Fantastic.
Not a problem. Not a problem. You know, it's interesting as we're going to play some audio here in just a minute or a few minutes. Bruce Falcon sent us in the last hour. Alexandra Pelosi, who is a filmmaker, does some work for Bill Maher's show, went to Mississippi and just talked to some people and asked a simple question. Why are you conservative? That was the only question she asked. And he said, in all fairness, he's going to be doing one and sending her to the inner city and asking them whatever. Because I think that he makes the assumption that people who live in the inner city are all liberals. Jeff, I'm guessing that's what he was referencing. I don't know.
Well, he's got to get a different. If you go, you know, to a rural era, I can't ever say that
rural
word.
Rural area.
Rural area.
Rural.
I'm going to continue to butcher it, but if you go to that area, then you go to an inner city as well. You know, to contrast it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every now and then you get, there's a certain word that you just like rural, and you have a problem with it. And I get that. I mean, you used to. I used to get a kick out of it. Your buddy Romer, you called him Reamer. You kept on calling him Buddy Reamer. I do that, too. Like, I'll get a word in my head that I know I'm saying it wrong, but I continue to do it because I think that, okay, I'm actually saying it right this time, but I know I'm not. We've all done that. We all continue to do it. It's just, you know, one of those little frustrations in your life, and you just need to learn how to deal with it. Anyway, it's just weird stuff. If you'd like to join us, we're open lines, by the way, for the remainder of the hour, so feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. And we're happy to take some calls. But before we do that, I do want to play this audio. This is from Bill Maher's show from last week. We'll go ahead and play it.
Alexandra Pelosi, who is our videographer, she's great. She's done, I think, eight different programs for HBO over the years. We sent her out to talk to real Americans in the South. Now, she did not cherry pick these people. She did not seek out people who look like what some people would say, rednecks. And she said, if you took any of the footage we didn't use, it would look just like the footage we did use. And by the way, all these people said they knew they were going to be on this show, and they think I'm going to hell.
Hey, Bill. I'm here in Mississippi, the poorest state in America, which is also the most conservative state in our union.
So why is Mississippi so conservative?
Well, you're in the heart of the Bible Belt. We believe in family. We believe in Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Whoever gets elected needs to be family-orientated.
God should come into his mind in everything that he does.
You never liked the president, did you?
Never. And never will.
Why not?
One thing, your name is Obama.
This is America. Our president should be American, not Muslim.
I don't even like it. When I see him on TV, I turn it off.
Is it because of Trump?
No, it's not because he's black or he's a half-breed.
Yes, I'm a little prejudiced.
Are you? You don't like black people?
Not much.
Why not?
You don't.
What is this?
Where are we? We're in the state of Mississippi.
I don't care for the government. They don't show me anything.
You get food stamps.
Yeah, but I think I deserve food stamps. I have no unemployment.
I hate Obamacare. I think it's retarded and pointless.
But a lot of people in Mississippi need health care.
Yeah. Back when I was growing up and when my parents were growing up and my grandparents were growing up, we didn't have all that and people still made it. And back then, people pulled their own weight. They didn't sit around waiting for everyone else to take care of them.
So you don't care about the economy?
No. Just take care of yourself. You put God back in the saddle and I'll be okay.
So something's not working here.
That's
voting
right.
Republican hasn't worked for you.
But it could.
But it hasn't.
It hasn't, but it could.
Why is the poorest state the most conservative state?
We would rather go broke and die hungry than to give up our moral beliefs.
I feel like that voting God and voting faith is more important to me than voting for free money or voting for a handout.
We're not going to be pushed over. We lost the war. That's true. But we're not going to be pushed around. And like the tag on the front of my truck says, the South will rise again.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm so scared for this country. Can someone say, you know, there's a commercial with the easy button? I think this one is the stupid button. Wow. How do you respond to that? I mean, this idea. that we share a common country with these folks is really, really frightening. Really frightening. I mean, I just don't understand. Want the president to be American, not Muslim. Really? Seriously? You really don't get that?
Those aren't mutually exclusive. You can be both.
Yeah, about that? Yeah, it's called the truth. Wow. Scary, scary stuff. I'm telling you. You know, there's that part that's entertaining because you kind of go, it's funny. All right, I get it. And then there's that part that kind of sinks in. You go, wow, those are real people. The guy they talked to that, you know, it's getting food stamps, but he doesn't want government in his life.
Well, he deserves those, though.
That's because he doesn't have a job, Jeff.
Well, yeah, he deserves a government handout.
And he's going to vote Republican. You know what? They can have him. The Republican Party can have him and all the others.
Well, and his neighbor there decided to say, well, you know, we would rather vote with our faith than vote for a handout and getting free money. Yeah. Well, your buddy there is getting free money, though, but he deserves it. Yeah, I don't understand that.
Let's be mindful. As long as there is a sense of God in everything we do, everything will be fine.
Well, once God's behind the wheel again, in charge of the country, then
Jesus,
we'll be fine.
Take the wheel, Jesus. Take the wheel. I don't mean to make fun of religion because I happen to be a fairly, I won't say a religious guy, but a very spiritual guy. I certainly believe in God. I pray. I believe that, you know, there's a purpose to religion in this country. I do not, though, believe that it is an excuse, which a lot of conservatives, and that piece kind of proves that they use religion as their excuse. They hide behind their religion, which is really a very scary thing. And oftentimes, a lot of the hate that comes my way is oftentimes based on some kind of perverted sense of religious loyalty. That's the word I'm looking for. That is very displaced. I mean, very, very displaced. You know, and some of you will have remembered that I've mentioned this from time to time. My mother was a born-again Christian and had very deep-seated values and beliefs on God and Christ and true born-again Christian, folks, not just devout Catholic. She was a born-again Christian and has very, very deep beliefs in that. Anyway, let's go to the phone. Let's welcome John in Armada to First Shift. John, thanks for your call this morning. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Tony?
Good,
hey, you did a good job on that show last night.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I heard you. I'm a truck driver. I heard you over there in Buffalo, New York. So,
oh, great.
That was pretty cool. Anyways, what I want to talk about is how come people don't realize, like the gas companies, this is all collusion. If you go down the streets and you look at all the gas stations, they're all the same prices. You call up on your car insurance, everyone's the same prices. A house insurance, anything. I listen to Ed Schultz, and in the meantime, when they go on commercial, I turn on to our sports channel on FM. They can't wait to get off the air to go on commercial, so they won't have to compete with them. It's so ridiculous if you look around here that this is all collusion. How come they're not being sued for this like they did back with Kurt Gibson and that when they call that collusion?
Well, we have different and John, thank you so much for your nice words and for your phone call today. You know, there's no explaining some of this stuff. We live by a different set of rules today. I think that in some regards, and that's why when people start talking about, and people, let's do little air quotes there, to start talking about the liberal bias or the liberal media or whatever, I mean, I think that we, you know, there is that misnomer that's kind of perpetuated by the right. And a lot of the problems we have in society is perpetuated or are perpetuated by the right, and I didn't say by those who are right, by the right, and it seems to me there's this disingenuous effort that gets made to confuse and obfuscate as best they can, and it's what's really interesting about this, and I've kind of weighed this from time to time as I do a gut check. I'll go, you know, maybe so and so was right, or you know, this flies in the face of what I believe, but hey, Big Tone, take a step back and really kind of weigh and measure what it is you're saying. Ultimately, I come back to one simple idea. And John, I think that this will help you. And the simple idea is, you know, the majority of us need to be served to the greater good. And I live and I choose to live there. Sometimes that means we have to do with a little less. And I'm absolutely okay with that. Dan in Milford, you'll be up next. Stay where you're at. We got to take a quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC, his millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us this morning is Terry O'Neill. Terry is the current president of the National Organization for Women.
Mitt Romney has failed to condemn Rush Limbaugh's three-day vicious vitriolic attack on an ordinary young woman whose big crime was that she stepped into the public sphere to testify before Congress. He is a dangerous guy. A number of commentators have made this point. The senior Republican leadership seems to be very much afraid of
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I do have a lot to get to. I want to get to the call first because Dan's been waiting a while. So let's go to Dan in Milford and welcome to First Shift. Dan, pleasure to have you back on the show.
Hey, good morning, Tony. It's been a while. Just real quick on the people, the recordings of the people from Mississippi, two comments. One is when I think of Jesus' message of tolerance, compassion, and love, those people don't come to mind. And I think that if those people, like Gandhi, right, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. I think that if they were real Christians, that they would live as Jesus wanted them to live. And Mississippi would be a real nice place to be, but unfortunately they aren't, and it's a tough spot. And the second thing is I can remember, and I was talking to my wife about this the other day, we remember fondly the night sitting on our couch watching the election called for President Obama. And I remember looking over at her that night saying, this is a turning point. And what I meant by that was there's going to be people that are coming out of the woodwork, and there is a lot of latent racism. And I think that, you know, what we heard from those folks in Mississippi isn't really latent, but I think it has come true in terms of it has really intensified with the first African-American president. And it's good. Get it out in the open because sunlight kills the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, first of all, we're short on time, but thank you for your call. It's nice to hear from you again. I agree with everything, of course, you said. I mean, part of the, and we talked about this earlier on in the show, and you know, listen, I'm very concerned about the direction this country is going in, but more specifically, man, this idea that we have kind of overcome race with the election of a black man has been shattered over and over and over again by mostly this white male supremacy model that I am the alpha dog and I don't want you in my backyard, and it just bothers me at a very real level. Indeed it does. All right, a couple more quick calls before we get out of here. Let me go to Bamani in Detroit. Bamani, my friend, how are you this morning?
Fine. How you doing, sir? You okay?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, let me that's the first question I wanted to ask is do you know what the consent agreement has to do, the new consent agreement has to do with the them overturning the emergency manager law?
Well, they're two very different things, Bamani. Let me take that one first so you understand. It is not the emergency manager, but it does create something called a chief restructure officer. It also it gives the mayor all the power to run the city and would neuter the city council.
Okay, yeah. Well, of course, you know, I'm concerned about all of that because, you know, the governor is really, and the Republicans here in this state are really out of control, along with the Republicans every place in this country. I heard the stuff that you played there. I mean, I'm not surprised, you know, and many of my friends have talked about the fact that we think that racism has gotten worse since there's been a black president, because some people are just so enraged they just don't think that any black person, there should always be a white person in charge of America. And they're all offended by the fact that a black man is now the president of the United States.
Well, unfortunately, I agree with you. I because it's just true. I mean, we prove it. That audio we played proves it.
Absolutely. And one more comment. I am impressed by the fact that you're willing to admit that the part of the problem here in America is white supremacy. And that's what some people don't want to deal with. That's kind of the elephant in the room or the gorilla in the room. People don't want to say it. You know, it's not politically correct. But I think that is clearly the situation that we have in America, that white supremacy does not want. They think it's on its way out because we now have a black president. And, of course, this whole thing about the browning of America, as they say, you know, people feel that that somehow their race is now, you know, no longer is going to be in charge, and that somehow they're supposed to be in charge. God gave them the right to be in charge, and somehow now it's being challenged.
No, I appreciate, thank you, and thank you for the call, Bamani. I appreciate your comments, and listen, I wish this were a problem that wasn't just about the elephant in the room, that we could actually have a dialogue and solve it. Unfortunately, we can't. Joe in Detroit joins us now, and we'll end the calls with that. Joe, what's on your mind this morning? Happy to have you on the show.
Hey, Tony. Joe Hicks.
Hey, Joe. How are you, brother?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good,
you
good.
Know, that video would be pretty hilarious if it was a Saturday Night Live sketch, but the fact that it's real makes it terrifying.
Yeah. In fact, Jeff posted it to the Facebook page, so it's if anybody wants to go there, grab it and share it, I would go ahead and do that, because it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I already reposted it.
That's
I also wanted to wish you all the best, man, with your surgery. I hope everything goes well, and speedy recovery.
Well, thank you. Joe, I do appreciate that. I, of course, am going to assume that everything is going to go extremely well, and, you know, hopefully we'll be back sooner as opposed to later. I don't want to be off any longer than I absolutely have to. And I appreciate the call. I appreciate your friendship as well, by the way. Joe, you've been a good friend of the program. And I just, again, I just appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right, folks, I want to talk for a minute about this this consent agreement. If you got a chance today, you need to go to the city council meeting at 10 a.m. downtown Detroit, and you need to make sure the city council does not do the wrong thing here. It will, this consent agreement will take away their power. I can't imagine that they're going to vote for it, but I don't know. Gary Brown scares me. He scares me in some profound ways. I don't like the way he dialogues about things. He's a fear monger to some level. He's a little Chicken Little, if you will. You know, the sky isn't always falling, and just because it's raining doesn't mean the sky is falling. It means it's raining, and we need rain in order for things to grow. I don't have all the answers, and I've never claimed to, ever. But I don't think this is the answer. Governor Snyder said yesterday that he is going to continue to loudly suggest a consent agreement. Who's listening? That's the question. I know Dave Bing wants this power because immediately what he will do is break the union or the unions. He'll say it's necessary. He'll say it's painful. He'll say he doesn't and didn't want to do it, but he'll do it in a heartbeat, and he'll do it gladly. Oh, folks, we need to be so very careful moving forward. But we also need to always look a little bit backward. And if I got to explain that to you, you don't quite get it yet, but you will one day. All right, let me end with this today as I get ready, of course, to take off for the day and, again, out to give a little speech this morning, and then I'll be back in the office preparing for tomorrow's surgery. I want to thank everybody that has sent good wishes, and I appreciate that. That will get me through. I'm sure the surgery will go fine. I don't question that at all. Everything is going to be great. I know Chris Mihalakis is going to be wonderful. You're going to enjoy him, and I will get back as quickly as I possibly can. I wish I could give you a date, but until I get on the other side of surgery, I can't and won't know. So, Anthony and Jeff, you've got a lot to do. Thank you for everything. To this audience, you're amazing. I'll be back when I'm back. Again, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
It's 1130 WDFN. Traffic.
A couple of accidents that have just popped up. 696 eastbound at the Lodge. The two right lanes are blocked. Traffic is backed up to Middle Belt Road. Also, not over westbound at 12 Mile. We have an accident there blocking the left lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 65. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 30s to around 40. And then tomorrow, beautiful. Mostly sunny, a high in the upper 60s to around 70. Right now it's fair and 52 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 W.